This evening we're going to talk about readiness. Paul said, I am ready. And readiness is important in all aspects of our lives. If we're going to school, if we're going to work, if we're going to grow up and be mature and be productive in our society, we need to be ready. But even more so in the Lord's kingdom. Readiness is extremely important. We think about the parable of the unwise virgins in Matthew chapter 25. Those that were ready, the text says, that were ready, were able to go into the marriage feast. And so readiness is important. And this evening we're going to turn to the life of Isaiah to encourage us along those lines. We're appreciative of everyone here this evening, and we're thankful especially for our visitors. We're glad that you're here. Isaiah is a Bible character that we normally don't look at as a lesson as a whole. We might quote a verse from him here or there, but to look at him as a person, we want to do that this evening, and I don't believe that that is very common. But Bible characters are important. Bible characters tell us the right way to live or the wrong way to live, depending on which character you're looking at. And this evening, we want to look at the example of Isaiah. If you'll turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 1, we'll begin our survey of the life of Isaiah there. There are several important things that we want to look at this evening, and we want to focus on his readiness. His name means Yahweh or Jehovah is salvation. And that really is the theme of all the book of Isaiah, how that he wants to save his own people. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz. We don't know anything about his father. We don't know anything about Isaiah other than the book of Isaiah and a few places in Kings and Chronicles. There's just not a whole lot of information about him in God's Word. But what is here is very important. And with just a few texts, we can learn that this was a great man in Israel's history. We also know that he didn't write just simply the book of Isaiah, but if you'll turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, apparently he was in the king's court. He maybe would have been a part of the political movement in Jerusalem near the king, maybe near some of the politicians. We're not sure exactly, but we know that he wrote some things other than the book of Isaiah. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we have a very interesting statement there about King Uzziah, and he dies. He died a leper because he was a proud man, and we're going to talk about that later. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and in verse 22, now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write. This is not the book of Isaiah. This is the chronicle of the life of Uzziah. So he probably wrote some other things other than the book of Isaiah itself. He also wrote about the acts of Hezekiah. So he may have been near the temple. He may have been near the kings and where they lived. And he was a court reporter, possibly. And we know that he recorded the life and death of Uzziah. He worked in ungodly times. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 1, we're told that he worked and preached in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Now, we're right here in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. You may remember that Uzziah was a good king. He started off right. But when he got older, he got proud. And the text says that when he was strong, 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 16, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up so that he did corruptly, and he trespassed against Jehovah his God. For he went into the temple of Jehovah to burn incense upon the altar of incense, and Azariah the priest went after him, and with him 80 priests of Jehovah that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it pertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto Jehovah, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. He was a king. He was not authorized to do that. It's like Nadab and Abihu offering up unauthorized fire in Leviticus 10. It's like Uzzah putting his hand up on the ark in 2 Samuel and touching the ark. These are unauthorized things. And so this man, when you get proud, you think you can do whatever you want. And when you get proud, you think you can act in a way that is pleasing to you. But he went in and he burned incense, and he was not authorized to do that. And keep in mind that Isaiah is writing about this man. He's writing about his death. He had to write about how this man did unauthorized things and his pride and his leprosy. And Isaiah is preaching to this man and in the time of this man, and it's ungodly times. The people of Israel are in idolatry. They're engaged in immorality. And so this would have been very difficult for Isaiah. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Readiness may involve readiness to do difficult things for the Lord. And we still need to sacrifice to do that, to be pleasing to Him. The reward will be great if we do that. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. Let's consider Isaiah's commission to go preach and to also write. God tells Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 8, "Now go, write before them a tablet, and ascribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever." And we still have that book. But look at the very next verse. "For it is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of Jehovah, that say to the seers," or the prophets, "see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." Don't tell us about God. Don't make us face our responsibilities. And if you're going to get up there and preach, have a nice little cute sermon that's sweet and syrupy and sappy. And look at verse 10. "Speak unto us smooth things." Just have a lesson that makes us feel good. And isn't that what is often the call for people today in many pulpits across the land? And so Isaiah is preaching in a very difficult period of time. And he's even writing in a book to people. Many of them don't even want to hear it. And so we're going to learn about a man this evening that is working in difficult situations with difficult kings, unbelieving kings, sinful people. And Isaiah, speak to us smooth things, but he can't do that. He has to speak only what God wants him to speak. Isaiah, turn with me to chapter 6, sees the Lord. And this is very important. And we don't have many things in God's Word that are dated by someone's death. Have you ever thought about that? Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died." We normally date things by when a person is born, not necessarily when they die. But on his death, now remember, this is the king that died a leper. He died someone who was proud and being punished for doing that which is unauthorized. In that very year, God chooses to show Isaiah an image of him in heaven. And that's important because times are difficult and there needs to be a reminder of God. God's people are immoral. They need to be reminded of who God really is. And also, Isaiah is being sent out to a very difficult people. And he needs to be reminded of who he's working for, as it were. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died." Here's a king who's a leper. He's been proud and he's done that which is unauthorized. And it's a wicked period of time. We need to be reminded of who the Lord is. "I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, angels, angelic beings. Each one had six wings, and twain he covered his face, and with twain or two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts." We sing that in our songbooks. "The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I," Isaiah, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts." And so what we find here is that Isaiah is reminded of the greatness of God. And we need to be reminded of the greatness of God. If we're going to go out and obey, if we're going to be ready to to do what God wants us to do, we need to be reminded of who we're working for, as it were. This is God in heaven on His throne. And we find in verse 3, holy, holy, holy. This is not someone who condones sin and goes along with sin in the lives of His people. And so we have to make our lives right with God. And we find in verse 5 that He was undone and He trembled and He was humbled at this. And He said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. Before we can be in the Lord's service, we have to be made clean. Before we can be in the Lord's service and be active in the Lord's service, we need to become a clean Christian. That's the only way we can be effective in the Lord's service. That's the only way we can help others. We're going to get to the point here in just a minute about His commission to go preach to God's people. And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. And that's the title of our lesson tonight. But before we can go, we have to come to God and be made clean. And so we find that He is moved by this vision of God. And He wants to do something about that. So let's keep reading now in verse 6. He was first saved and then He was sent. And that's the right order. We have to be truly converted. We're not going to go out in the Lord's service and be ready to preach God's word to unbelieving people. We're not going to be ready to go out and do what He wants until we're truly converted. Not just wet in a baptistry, not just going through some motions because somebody wants us to do that, but because we're truly converted. And so here is Isaiah who confesses, I am unclean. I'm in the midst of a people who are unclean. Remember, this is the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz. God's people are very wicked. Later in the reign of Hezekiah, things get a lot better. But in the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, God's people are idolatrous. I'm in the midst of an unclean people. He admits that himself. And so something has to be done about that. There has to be conversion before there is commission. You have to be saved before you can be sent. And so verse 6, then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs of the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin forgiven. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Underscore that in your Bible. Us. We find that in Genesis chapter 1. Let us make man in our image. The plurality of the Godhead, I believe, is illustrated here. Who will go for us? Plural. The Lord is speaking for Himself and for God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And that's going to be our lesson this evening. We're going to focus in on that. So He was first saved and then He was sent. And that's the way it is for us today. When we're truly converted, then we're ready to go and do the Lord's will and the Lord's work. But notice something, what we have here in this immediate text. What is He being called to do? We're going to come back to this statement in just a moment. But what is He being called to do? Well, verse 9. The Lord said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn again and be healed. God wants Isaiah to go preach the word to His people, and He knows up front that they will be hardened. But He wants to give them a chance to, they are responsible to make that decision. Do they want to hear or not hear? And He knows that many of them are just not going to hear. They've got closed eyes and closed ears. And so again, readiness doesn't mean that there's going to be an easy path, that the way of being a Christian and the service to Christ is just going to be easy. Readiness is going to involve some difficult things. We might have to go do some things with people that up front, the Lord knows they're hardened. But we need to do those things anyway. Now what's interesting about this is, this passage is quoted at least three different places in the New Testament. And I would like to look at that at this time. Verses 9 and 10 are quoted, first of all, in the parable of the sower. We're going to be coming back to Matthew if you just want to hold your hand there. But turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. We'll be coming back to Isaiah in just a minute. Matthew chapter 13, when Jesus is preaching the parable of the sower, we find that this Isaiah passage is quoted here. Now, Matthew chapter 13 is also found the The parallel account is found in Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8. But we're going to look at Matthew chapter 13. Jesus just finishes preaching this parable of the sower, which is the preaching of the Word of God, and it falls on four different hearts. It falls on the wayside soil, verse 4. And then it falls upon the rocky ground, verse 5. It falls upon the thorny ground, verse 7. And it falls upon the good ground, verse 8. And so the different kinds of hearts of men. Now look at verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. When a person wants to understand God's word and will, he'll be given that and he'll be given more, because that's what he wants. He shall have an abundance, but whosoever hath not, that's the person who doesn't want the truth. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And then unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, and that's Isaiah 6, 9 and 10, By hearing you shall hear and shall in no wise understand, and seeing you shall see and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed or grown gross, that is hardened, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should turn again and should heal them, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they see. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see the things which you see and saw them not, and to hear the things which you hear and hear them not. He's talking about his own personal ministry. They're able to witness that for themselves. But he quotes Isaiah chapter 6, 9 and 10 and applies it to people who will not hear him. Well, does that mean then that we don't go out and talk with others? No. Remember verse 8 and 9. There is still the good and honest hearts. So one thing that we need to understand about being ready to go do the Lord's will is that there are going to be a lot of people out there who readily admit that they don't want the Word of God. But that doesn't mean we stop talking to all people. Remember the parable of the sower. There are three soils that don't want the Word of God. There's one who does. And so we're going to be among unbelieving people. We had a lesson this morning about how that there are more and more people who are not reading the Bible in America. We're going to have more and more people at school and at work and other places who are unbelieving. But there are still those who do want the Word of God. And so we need to take it to them. That's the whole point of the parable of the sower. There are going to be those who have their ears closed, their eyes are closed, their heart is closed. Yes, and that's in fulfillment of Isaiah. But there are those who are good and honest in heart, and they will receive the Word of God, and we just simply need to find them. So when we're rejected by the first one and the second one and the third one, just keep going. There will be those who will accept the invitation to study God's Word with you. Let's look at the second place where this is found. Turn with me to John chapter 12. Jesus, in John chapter 12, this is one of his last public teachings before going to the cross. And he's been talking about how that he must be lifted up. John chapter 12, verse 34, he's been talking about how that he is the light. He presents the light of truth. So John chapter 12, verse 36, while you have the light, that's me and my word, believe on the light, that you may become sons of light. These things spake Jesus, and he departed and hid himself from them. But though he had done so many signs before them, yet they believed not on him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? That's actually Isaiah 53, verse 1. But now we come down to the quotation from Isaiah chapter 6. For this cause they could not believe, for that Isaiah said again, Isaiah 6, 9 and 10, He hath blinded their eyes, and he hath hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes and perceive with their heart, and should turn, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah, because he saw his glory and spake of him. Isaiah, through prophecy, saw Jesus, the glorious Jesus, and he spake of him. He spake of him, for example, with the prophecy of the virgin birth, Isaiah 7:14. He spake of him in Isaiah chapter 9 when he said, when Isaiah said that he would be called Mighty God. He spake of him in Isaiah chapter 11 when he told that the Spirit of the Lord would be upon him. So Isaiah saw Jesus and he spake of him. Verse 42, nevertheless, even of the rulers, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that is of men more than the glory that is of God. Brethren, we need to understand that when it comes time to be ready to do the Lord's work and go out and talk with others, there's going to be people who all they care about is making their friends happy. My friends around me, I've got to make them happy. Verse 42, I don't want to be put out of the synagogue. I don't want to be separated from my friends, so I'm not going to confess Christ. You're going to be surrounded by people like that. And it happens all the time. We talk about peer pressure and that kind of thing. Even these are adults. These are not young people, verse 42. These are grown men, Pharisees, who didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. The people there didn't like Jesus, and so they rejected him, and they don't want to lose their friends. Brethren, we need to understand, we need to choose Christ, even over family and friends. And so, verse 39, Isaiah said, and then he quotes this passage, their eyes and their ears and their heart are closed. Why? Because of their friends. And we see that that's a problem even today. We won't accept truth because of our friends. We won't accept what the Bible teaches because of our friends. And we're going to be on the outs with them. Verse 43, they love the glory that is of men, my friendships, my camaraderie, more than the glory that is of God, doing what God says. And if we think that that peer pressure is just among the young people alone, we're mistaken. As adults, we can be pressured into not following the Word of God because of our friends. And so we see the second place, which this is quoted. Now let's look at the third time. This is in Paul's ministry. Turn with me to Acts chapter 28. You see, when Isaiah was called, he was getting set up to understand that he's going to a people who are hardened. They don't want the Word of God. Now some did, and they're called the remnant. But many did not. And we face that same kind of thing today. It still goes on today. We will not open our ears and our eyes and our hearts to the truth because of our friends and other kinds of things. And then look at what we find here in Acts chapter 28. When Paul finally made it to Rome, he gathered his Jewish friends together, not just to socialize with them, but to preach to them Jesus Christ. And when he did that, we find in Acts chapter 28 and verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, they came to him into his lodging in a great number, to whom he expounded the matter, testifying the kingdom of God and persuading them concerning Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And that would have included Isaiah, from morning till evening. And some believed the things that were spoken, and some disbelieved. That's why we keep talking with others. That's why we have a radio program. That's why we try to set up Bible studies and invite people. Some are going to believe, some aren't. And we have to find those who want to believe. But among those who disbelieved, look at verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. It's kind of like saying, look, guys, before you leave, I want to say one last thing. What would you quote if you did that? What Bible verse would you look at? He turned to Isaiah and he said, well spake the Holy Spirit through Isaiah. Notice it's the Holy Spirit speaking through Isaiah. It's not just Isaiah's opinion. They spake the very word of God. Unto your father, saying, go thou unto this people and say, by hearing you shall hear and shall in no wise understand, and seeing you shall see and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their ears, with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. Be it known unto you, therefore, that this salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. They will also hear. So here's a third lesson we learn. Number one, from Matthew 13, we learn that there are good and honest hearts out there. Many, many will not believe. And so this passage from Isaiah is quoted. But there still are those of a good and honest heart, and we have to find them. Number two, we learn from the John passage that many will not obey the Word of God because of their friends. And number three, we learn from this passage that among those who would not listen to the truth, Paul said in verse 28, we're going to go find those who do. There will always be those who do. So we turn to the Gentiles. They will also hear. And one thing that's kind of interesting about that is if you read the next two verses, while Paul was in jail, this is written while Paul is in prison, he writes what we call four prison epistles. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Look at verse 31. He was preaching the kingdom of God, teaching things concerning the Lord Jesus with all boldness, none forbidding him. Verse 30. He abode two whole years in his own hired dwelling and received all that went in unto him. God is going to provide a way. We talk about prison. This is not so much you're in a cell by yourself behind bars. This would be called like house arrest. It was a little bit of a freer type of incarceration. But he had to stay there while he was awaiting this trial before Caesar. And look at verses 30 and 31. He continued to talk to people who came to him. He writes four of the New Testament books. But yes, there are people who won't hear. But I'm going to turn to those who do. And so when we come across the person who says no, and there are many of them out there, we turn to the person who says yes, and we keep going. Back to Isaiah now. Isaiah had personal contact with leaders of Israel. And sometimes he had to personally talk with unbelieving kings. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 7. When Isaiah was told to go to Ahaz in Isaiah chapter 7 in verse 3, he was an unbelieving king. He would not put his trust in God. And chapter 7 and 8 tells that story. He trusted in Assyria. He wouldn't trust in God. But he's told, go now. Notice in the book of Isaiah, go. Go. Notice that commission. We have it in chapter 6 and verse 9. Go tell this people. We have it in chapter 7 and verse 3. Go now forth to meet Ahaz. Are we ready? Well, I can't do that. I didn't get such and such done. I'm not ready because I haven't done this and I haven't done that. We need to be ready, Lord. And we need to be ready in the church today. But sometimes he had to face individuals personally, and that would have been difficult to do. We know that Isaiah was married. He had two boys. In chapter 7 and verse 3, one son, Sherijashub, was named that because it means a remnant. And Isaiah preaches about the remnant. The other one, chapter 8 and verse 1, Meher Shalahashbaz, means the spoil speeds away. And that was symbolic of Assyria coming into Samaria and taking away their spoil. He had two boys, but notice something with me. Look at chapter 8 and verse 18. He and his family were used by God to teach lessons. And so it wasn't just him, but me and my family, we've given our lives to God's service. Is that the way it is with us today? Ready to give myself and my family, my spouse, me, we're together, going to be used in the Lord's service. Look at chapter 8 and verse 18. Isaiah says, behold, I and the children whom Jehovah hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from Jehovah of hosts, who dwelleth in Mount Zion. God is using us. And one way that he used his boys was their names meant lessons. They taught lessons. And so he had this son, chapter 8 and verse 1, he was supposed to name him Meher Shalahashbaz, and then go and tell the people, just like my son is called this, chapter 8 verse 4, so Assyria is going to come down and take away the spoil of Damascus. Are we being used in the Lord's service? A lot of times today you'll hear about, well, my wife and I and children, we've got this going on and we've got that going on. And we've got to go here. We've got hobbies and we've got this thing that we're in and that thing that we're in. And they're not serving the Lord. we need to be serving the Lord. Well, I'm too busy with my work, and I'm too busy with my hobbies, and my kids have this going on and that going on. We need to be used. And so chapter 8 and verse 18, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders. And we're going to see an example here in a minute about how that Isaiah himself was willing to be used. But we have to be willing to serve in the Lord's kingdom. In chapter 8, verses 11, 12, and 13, look with me there. Isaiah was a man who feared the Lord. He didn't fear the people. When you start preaching the Lord's word to an ungodly king and an ungodly people, that's going to get pretty rough. Like Jeremiah, remember? He was let down in a pit. And we have to make up our minds who we're going to serve. And being ready to serve the Lord sometimes involves making a decision to put the Lord first. Look at verse 11, chapter 8, verse 11. For Jehovah spake thus to me, Isaiah, with a strong hand, and instructed me not to walk in the way of this people. And we need to learn that lesson. Isaiah did not walk in the way of the people. It would have been easy to do that. And in chapter 30, when they said, Isaiah, speak smooth things to us, he could have been popular and gone along with that. But the Lord said, do not walk in the way of this people. So this man is sacrificial. He puts the Lord first, and we need to be like that in our lives. Look at verse 12. Say not a conspiracy concerning all whereof this people shall say a conspiracy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor their dread. Do not be scared of them. Isaiah would have been in the minority. When Isaiah said, hey, we need to trust in God, not the king of Assyria. We need to put away these idols. And on and on and on. He would have become very unpopular. But he had to put the Lord first. And then look at verse 13. Jehovah of hosts, him shall you sanctify, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Now turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, chapter 3, where this is referenced. You know, sometimes we turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, it's a very popular passage. The one about sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be always ready to give an answer. Do you know that that comes from Isaiah chapter 8? And there's going to be times, and really the book of 1 Peter is all about persecution, first century Christians being persecuted. And they're not to fear those around them. And so notice in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, and who is he that will harm you if you be zealous of that which is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, blessed are you and fear not their fear. That's Isaiah 8, 11 and 12. Being ready to serve the Lord means that we have to step up. And sometimes it's going to involve persecution, but we don't need to fear those around us. Neither be troubled, but sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord. That's right out of Isaiah 8, 11 through 13. Being ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is within you, yet with meekness and fear. That is fearing God. And so sometimes when we step up, and we're ready to serve the Lord, we need to understand that it's going to involve putting God first and not being fearful of the people around us. Look at chapter 8, verse 16. Isaiah is told to bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And here's Isaiah talking, verse 17. I will wait for Jehovah that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Isaiah was a man who patiently waited for the Lord, trusted in His Word, followed His Word. When things are looking dark and bleak in Israel, and he's speaking these words about a coming remnant and a coming Messiah, he has to patiently wait when those things will be fulfilled. And with regard to Jesus, that's not even going to be fulfilled in His day. But we patiently wait for the Lord to fulfill His Word. That's a part of being ready. Now turn with me to Isaiah chapter 20. I'm impressed with this section of Scripture. Would you be willing to be used this way? What's interesting, brethren, is we're going to see in Isaiah chapter 20 that Isaiah was asked to do something that would have taken a great amount of sacrifice and service. And the Lord asked us to do things that are far less than what we're about to read about, and many brethren won't even do it. Look at Isaiah chapter 20 and verse 1. In the year that Tartan came unto Ashdod, when Sargon, the king of Assyria, sent him, this is around 711 B.C. And he fought against Ashdod and took it. At that time, Jehovah spake by Isaiah the son of Amoz, saying, go. Have we heard this before? Go. Go speak to my people, 6:9. Go talk to the king, 7:3. Chapter 30, go write in a book. Do we see a theme here? Go. And there are things that the Lord wants us to do, and He's telling us, go. But we've got to do that. Now look at what He tells Isaiah. Go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins, and put thy shoe from off thy foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. Now, when you see the word naked, don't think nude. In the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, naked meant just a loincloth around your midsection. So just very little clothing. He took off his outer garments. He's down to probably his loincloth. And he's walking about naked and barefoot. And Jehovah said, like my servant Isaiah, underscore that, brethren, Isaiah was the Lord's servant. When the Lord said go, He went. And that's our lesson tonight. When God tells us to do things, we just need to say, here am I, send me. And this one involves, take your clothes off. This is going to be a representation, a symbolic lesson. And, whoa, wait a minute. I don't know if I want to do that. He just did it because I am the Lord's servant. And Lord, I saw you up in heaven. I saw you on a throne and I'm impressed by you. And when you tell me go, I go. Maybe our problem is we've lost our impression of God. Whenever God told him to go, he did that. And Jehovah said, likewise, as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot, look at it, underscore it in your Bible, 3 years. I mean, I don't know if I'd want to do that for 3 minutes, 3 hours, 3 days, let alone 3 years. But hey, I'm your servant, Lord, and whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do that. Just as he's done this, and he's walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign. Do you remember chapter 8 and verse 18? I and the children that you have given me are for signs. Do you know that that involved he himself? And if you want me to do this for 3 years, I'm going to do it. And this is for a sign and a wonder concerning Egypt and concerning Ethiopia. So shall the king of Assyria lead away the captives of Egypt and the exiles of Ethiopia, young and old, naked and barefoot, and with buttocks uncovered to the shame of Egypt. So the point is that Isaiah went about naked and barefoot, and that was a sign to Egypt that Assyria was going to take them away naked and barefoot. And we might be thinking, well, first of all, I'm not going to do that. And secondly, I'm not going to do that for a people, Egypt, who aren't even my people. Why am I walking around naked for some other people? That's just something God wants me to do. And he obeyed that without hesitation. Now, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Go, go, go. We're seeing that all throughout the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. So let's talk about this as we close our lesson this morning, or this evening. There are three things that I want us to consider from this passage. First of all, here am I, send me. Notice number one, the lesson of readiness. He offered himself without being told. Look at verse 8. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. The Lord didn't have to push him and prod him and pull him and just make him do this, drag him into service, beg him, just over, please. As soon as he said it, here am I, send me. Number one, the lesson of readiness. We need to have that in our life, brethren. We don't need to be pushed and pulled and prodded to come to services and to do the things that we need to do in and out of this building in our service to the Lord. Paul said in Romans 1:15, I am ready to preach the gospel. Readiness. That's what we need to have in our life. That's what we need to learn from Isaiah. Oh, I'll do it if you just... Okay, I'll do it. You know, you've been on me for weeks about this. No, just do it. And if we know, let's do it without being told. We know it's already something that we're supposed to do. Let's do it without being told. And don't have to be pushed and prodded. That's the kind of Christian we need to be. Look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul talks about how that Titus was to preach so that the Christians there could be ready unto every good work. If we know what is the good work in the Lord's church, if we know what the good work is, let's just be ready to do it. We don't have to have a sermon on it. We're just going to do it anyway. We don't have to have a reminder. We don't have to have someone always telling us that this is something that we're supposed to do. We're just going to do it. Titus chapter 3 speaks a lot about the importance of good works. And one of the statements that is mentioned there is in chapter 3 and verse 1. Put them in mind to be in subjection to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready unto every good work. Readiness. Here am I, Simeon. He didn't have to be begged into that. He just did it without being told. Lesson number two, selflessness. Notice that he said, here am I, send me. He offered himself, not just the things that he had. He didn't say, okay, now Lord, I know that you want somebody to go. Here's what I'll do. I'll give you some money and take that money and try to get somebody to go out. Or I'll tell you what, I've got some family members and friends. Let me go get them and donate them to the cause. You know, volunteer them for the cause. No, he just said me. That's what the Lord wants first. He wants you, not your things. He wants you. We don't serve in the Lord's church by proxy, where just money paid to get things done. Well, my money does the talking. It'll go out and do it. No, me. He wants me. And so Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Yes, we're supposed to give on the first day of the week. But what he first wants is me. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and that's what we're reminded of there with regard to the Macedonian brethren. They gave their money. But what did they give before they gave their money? They gave themselves to the Lord. The Lord doesn't want just your things, just your money. He wants you. He wants me. And so that's the second lesson that we need to learn out of this. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he's trying to stir up the Corinthians about, and he uses the example of the Macedonians. Verse 5, and this not only as we had hoped, but first, look at it in your Bible, first they gave them own selves to the Lord and to us through the will of God. That's what he wants first. Before you drop the money in the plate, that's great. What he wants first, though, is you. And so Isaiah didn't say, hey, I'll tell you what, we're going to pay to have this done. We're going to, you know, find some other way through proxy that lets somebody... No, here am I, send me. So his selflessness, we have to give ourselves to the Lord first. And when we do that, all kinds of things open up. But if we're holding back, then the door is closed on the opportunities for serving God. Readiness, number one. Selflessness, number two. And number three, courageousness. Because the very next verse says, I want you to go and speak to a people who I'm going to tell you up front, their ears are closed, their eyes are closed. But he still said, here am I. He offered himself to do a difficult task. And when we turn to the New Testament, we find men who were willing to do difficult things. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, they beheld the boldness of Peter and John. We have to have boldness and courageousness to stand up and do what is right. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 31, Paul preached with all boldness. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35, to not cast away our boldness. And John says that we need to have boldness, 1 John 2:28. So there are three things that we find in just this little short statement. Here am I, send me. I'm ready. You don't have to pull and prod me all the time. I'm just ready to go. Number two, I'm going to give you me. And later on, if that means you ask me to go around naked and barefoot for 3 years, I've given you me, so I'll do it. True commitment. And then number three, I'm going to be courageous. And if it means going to a king who's unbelieving, if it means going to a people that is unbelieving, I will do that very thing. What a great example in Isaiah. As we close this evening, I want us to consider this statement, here am I, send me. And tonight we need to be saying that very same thing. Do you know that Abraham said exactly the same three words? In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1, when God came and he spoke to, turn with me there, when God came and he spoke to Abraham and he said, I want you to come and offer up your son Isaac on the altar. And it came to pass after those things that God did prove or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, I, here am I. And you know what? When he said, here am I, the Lord said, I want you to take your son and sacrifice him. And that's exactly what he did. Readiness to sacrifice. Do you know that Moses said these same three words when God came to him in the burning bush and talked about how that he was Jehovah God, the Almighty, the I Am that I Am? And he speaks there, turn with me to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 4. And when Jehovah saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he had to learn from that point onward, and especially in the next chapter, that I've got to be ready to lead Israel. And then last of all, we find when we turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 3, when Samuel is a young boy living there with Eli, there were different times when God came and spoke to him, and you know he thought it might be Eli, and Eli said, no, it's not me. And finally he realizes it's the Lord. And so the Lord is saying, Samuel, Samuel. And do you know that Samuel said the same three words, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 4? Jehovah called Samuel and said, Samuel said, here am I. And then later when he realizes who it is, we come on down to verse 10, Jehovah came and stood and called it up as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak for thy servant heareth. He was ready to hear, ready to sacrifice, ready to lead, ready to listen to God's word. And so as we close this evening, you put your name in the blank. I put my name in the blank. What am I saying? Here am I. What am I saying? I need to be saying I am ready to obey. Readiness. Is that you this evening? Is that me this evening? If we're a child of God each day, we need to be saying, here am I, send me, to the things that the Lord has for us in His kingdom. We sing that in our songbook. I forgot to mention to Mason this evening, we could have picked that out as one of the songs. Here am I, send me. Lord, send me. Ready at thy bidding. Lord, send me. You see, that's not just a neat song to sing. That's Isaiah. That's a Bible character, and we need to be like him. Readiness, selflessness, courageousness. And like Isaiah and Abraham and Moses and Samuel, that needs to be our attitude each day. It may need to be our attitude right now in coming forward and obeying the gospel for the very first time. You know what you need to do. It's no longer this pulling and prodding and pushing and all that kind of thing. I'm just going to do it. I've been told enough. I'm just going to do it. Or as a child of God, we need to volunteer in doing the Lord's work. And while it is true that we are to give on the first day of the week, we've got to be careful about this proxy thing. Well, we've got a preacher to do that, or we've got other members will do that, or that I put my money in the plate, and that's why that's, you know, that it'll get it done that way. No, I first have to give myself to the Lord. One of the problems with Israel in Isaiah's day was they kept bringing their things to the Lord, but they wouldn't give themselves to the Lord. They kept coming to the temple and bringing the sacrifices, but the Lord said, I don't want that anymore. I want you. I want you people, you to be right with me. So he's not looking just for things. He's looking for us to truly be committed to him. And if we can encourage you to do that this evening, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?